Welcome in, listeners, to another episode of the Busby Babe podcast. I am here with Jose Espinoza, who's a veteran writer and follower of PSG for PSG Talk. How's it going, Jose?
Hi, Colin. Thank you so much for having me back. It's really been a long time since I was here, but I'm definitely super happy to do this. You know, I love talking soccer, and I'm just happy to be back and to be able to do it again, you know?
Yeah, it was definitely an exciting group draw for both of these clubs, not just to play each other, but RB Leipzig as well makes this arguably the group of death.
I agree. Yeah.
And of course, the last time we talked was very different circumstances. And I would say since then, things haven't exactly gone the way maybe we had hoped. But, you know, PSG coming off of a really good season in the Champions League where, you know, there were a couple goals away from winning the whole thing in their first ever appearance in the Champions League final.
Yeah, it was definitely last season. You know, it was something else because, well, obviously, like, it's been a completely different season than everyone has ever, ever had last season.
Right.
But it was really interesting because, you know, everything started to go down with, you know, COVID and the infections and quarantine. And, you know, Ligue 1 just got canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were in this mentality that, like, we were, you know, going to be able to do this. Like, we had top Real Madrid in our group in the Champions League. We had beaten Dortmund after we had lost at their, you know, at their stadium in Germany. And then suddenly we felt like everything was, you know, like, halted, right? And they focused on, and they awarded us the title, but, like, we were only, like, 28 games in or something like that. So, I don't know, it felt pretty bad. And then everything was just, like, confusion, and, like, teams were going back to playing, and so many people thought that they were going to be in better shape going into the international competitions. But, you know, PSG had two very tough finals against opponents right before the start of the Champions League. We were got a couple of trophies, can't speak today. And they just went in on the Champions League, and we just, you know, almost lost to Atalanta. Fairy tale story, reached the final. I mean, I'm honestly proud of what we achieved, even if we didn't win the final.
Yeah, and, you know, there's the argument to be made too that much time off is going to, you know, kind of quell the sharpness of a team that's in really good form. And you saw in that Atalanta game, PSG looking definitely the better side for the entire match, but, or, you know, save maybe 5 minutes of it when they scored, but it wasn't until the final minutes they finally were able to get the ball in the net. And by then it was like, okay, things are clicking now, and everything's going to be okay.
I don't know why Neymar was having some shooting issues. He was running the whole show. Like, he was running the whole match. Just when it came to shooting, he would, like, miss some really shots that he shouldn't be missing. But, you know, it's the things of the game. Hopefully, I mean, I think this is a difficult year for everybody, but I think we can probably, you know, do something very good this year in the Champions League. And I think that we'll just have to try to adapt the best, you know? Like, we can say COVID is a disadvantage, but every team can say that. So I think that we need to, you know, step it up and try to demonstrate something in the Champions League again.
Yeah, and speaking of Neymar running the show, you know, it wasn't just in the Champions League that you saw this, but Paris finally having a season where Neymar doesn't have a catastrophic injury come at such a poor time for them, and he's able to be that leader in those big games for them. And really, I mean, listed, you know, as a left winger everywhere and, you know, in everyone's minds, but playing for PSG in the Champions League, he really bought into that role of taking control in the center of the park as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like, I wouldn't have said it better. And I'll tell you something. After that night in Paris, I've told everybody that the reason that why we didn't go through that day was because we didn't have Neymar on the field. Because we needed him to be able to be the leader that he is. And we needed him to drive the team towards adversity and just put the team in a place where they just refuse to lose. And, you know, that's something that Mbappe, as good as he is, he can't really do that. So I knew that this year or last season, we were going to have a much, much better chance because of exactly what you said. Neymar did not get injured. The team was able to, because if you think about it, the teams that had the biggest stops in football were the teams who performed the best in European competitions, because they didn't have, like, teams in the Premier League, like, were competing Premier League and Champions League at the same time. So it was like, it really wore out on some teams. Like, Italian teams also finished the season like the Premier League, like, just right before the start of the European competitions, and they also. So I think combining all of those elements, Neymar being able, you know, to, he was there when we had to turn the game around Borussia Dortmund, and then he was there again against Atalanta, even when his shooting was off, and even when it looked like we were about to get knocked out again, he, you know, he provided the assist, he provided the pre-assist of the second goal, so. There you go. He is absolutely fantastic. And whenever you let him take charge of the ball, really, really good things can happen.
Yeah. Definitely worrying for Manchester United right now, coming out of a game where we conceded 6 goals and, you know, 2 and 3 goals respectively in the 2 games before that. What do you see PSG's tactics against this Manchester United backline looking like?
I will tell you something. I don't remember right now. For some reason, I just forgot if the first leg is in Paris.
Yeah, it's at the Parc des Princes, I think, in the first fixture next week.
So that is probably the first thing that I will say is really going to influence the way that PSG play. Not because PSG really don't have a logic on how they play better. Usually, it was always the history that we would always play better at home. You know what I'm saying? But the problem was that all of those years, we would finish second in our Champions League group, and that's why we would, like, that's why we would have, like, home the first game, and we would think that was, like, our stronghold. But the reality was that our stronghold was just the first game, not the second. So I think that it being the first game, and it being at the Parc des Princes, I think that PSG is really going to be a lot more aggressive than what they would be in Old Trafford. Because at the end of the day, you're playing Manchester United. It's not a team that has no idea what they're doing on the pitch. So you need to be, I think, you could say maybe, you know, PSG, of course, they're aiming for other things right now, but these are clubs that are aiming for different things. But I think that at the same time, there's quality on the pitch, you know, and Manchester United has good players, and I think that they will definitely be very aggressive, you know. However, I think Tuchel is a little hard to predict in the way that he plays, because he has many different plans and is known to, like, shift formations mid-game. So it's really hard to predict what he has in mind, but I think that, you know, being closer to the dates of the Champions League. Today we just played again. We can kind of have an idea of what he's going to want. And I think it's going to be Neymar. It should be Mbappe. He should start because we don't have Icardi. So today Keane looked pretty good, but, you know, he didn't manage to score. Today's game was really not very telling, because Neymar got a red card, and it was mostly an attacking dialogue by PSG. But I think that's what they will try. Definitely be very aggressive and try to strike fast. You know, try to be on the press, try to get the ball, they're a lot less conservative than what they would be if they would be going to Old Trafford.
Yeah, Solskjaer, for the most part, has put a lot of defensive planning into, you know, Manchester United's big matches under his tenure. And the last time we played PSG, of course, the goals that PSG scored were coming from those fast, creative interchanges that really opened up the far post. I can see Kylian Mbappe being a nightmare right now with the way that our center backs have been communicating with our fullbacks. But Manchester United possibly bringing in a couple of new signings for this game. So will be interesting to see how that back line looks. But this midfield going into this game, I think, will be an interesting matchup because, one, Manchester United's midfield has not played very well. Pogba has looked out of sorts a bit. Nemanja Matic is not the defensively intelligent rock at the back that we came to expect from him the second half of last season. And Bruno Fernandes has given the ball away like crazy. But I do think the matchup with PSG will be interesting because you guys go into this match without Marco Verratti, which is, of course, a big loss given his talents. But PSG are a team with, you know, notorious depth. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the midfield depth and what you expect to see.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, something, it's funny that I don't remember a campaign and when Marco Verratti last could go all Champions League games. Or because if he's not injured, he's suspended. So there's a way, you know? But Tuchel is a very smart coach. But the way his tactics work, it really relies on the players that the team has. If the team doesn't have the players that the coach is counting on for that system to work, it's a team that starts to be sluggish, is a team that starts to run out of ideas, is a team that starts losing its playing identity. And that is something that happened to us during the first two matches of the season where we lost to Lens and to OM. And I think that it's something that he's going to have to, like, Neymar is like the red light, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, if you lose Neymar, then, like, basically PSG cannot score goals. Or, like, unless Mbappe scores or something. But Verratti is, like, he's not up there in that, like, level of danger of, like, losing him. But, like, he's still a pretty big loss. And the reason why is because he's a central midfielder that can also play into the attack. And with the quality that he has, he can combine very well with the quality in the forward line, which is really the strength of PSG. And so it is very, very, very worrying that he's not going to be able to make it there. And the worst part is that we don't have any other people to take care of, because Paredes, who's usually the Verratti sub, or like not sub, but like his closest player that one can play to Verratti, the same thing Verratti plays to. Is Paredes. He's out because I don't know if he got injured in Argentina duty. I don't know if he got COVID. I can't remember right now, but I know that he's out. And Danilo Pereira, our latest signing, is out as well after playing with Portugal. So we'll probably have to start Ghana, which is pretty decent, but is not a player to control the game or create attack. Like, yeah, he can kind of play box to box, but he's going to be creating changes of play and you know, dynamic transitions, stuff like that. That isn't his thing. And who am I? Paredes is not going to be available. But
I think Ander Herrera is out as well, which would have been an interesting reunion.
Absolutely. Herrera is out as well. Herrera is out as well. I do not understand, like, honestly. I'm trying to find, if I just give me 1 second, this thing. Probably Rafinha will have to make an appearance.
And Marquinhos has played in midfield a couple times for you guys as well.
Do that as well, yes. But Marquinhos is also out. I think he got COVID, but I think he was suspended anyway. So okay. I have not, like, it's just very weird how I think this PSG team is going to line up against Manchester United. Because we don't know, like, to the daily, we don't know who's going to even make the squad. You know what I'm saying? Keane will probably have to start. You know, Sarabia is going to probably play a role. Draxler, I think, is out as well. So it's just so many doubts. It's just so many doubts. And thankfully, some really important, big, important part of the teams, like Navas, like Kimpembe, like Neymar, are still available. So there's always hope, you know. But it's a really hard situation to go in.
Fortunately for you, and perhaps unfortunately for us, Manchester United isn't exactly a team like Bayern Munich that can cut off the back from the front the way that they did in the final against you guys. So I'm sure you won't have too much trouble getting the ball forward. But perhaps an area of the pitch that we need to improve at and maybe can improve at against PSG on Tuesday. And of course, Anthony Martial was suspended against Tottenham, so he's out for 3 league games, but he will be available for this Champions League game, as will a former friend of yours, Edinson Cavani, who recently signed for Manchester United. He is supposedly looking forward to playing in this game. It'll be interesting to see how Ollie uses him, because we've never played with a traditional number 9 quite like Cavani under Ollie. I suppose maybe with Lukaku, but even then we usually played a front 2 or 3. What can you tell us about Cavani going into this season?
You know, I'm happy that you asked me about him, because I don't think that you would be able to find many people who like Edinson Cavani more than I do.
Okay.
For me, Edinson Cavani is obviously he's one of not only for me, but obviously he's one of the greatest players to ever play for PSG. He is the record goal scorer, top goal scorer of PSG, 200 goals. It's an incredible achievement. He is very, very hardworking, a fantastic goal scorer, an amazing teammate, very humble guy. I think he's the perfect footballer. Like, I'm so sad to see him go away. But I am also I'm also happy to see him go to a team like Manchester United. And I'm even more happy that he's going to be able to face us now. So I think it's just a great story, you know? And he's a fantastic player. And I think he, you know, during these last few years had encountered some physical problems at PSG. He was getting kind of injured, wasn't playing very much. Cardi became part of the equation. So I am so happy that he gets to reinvent himself now. And I also think that it's amazing that Manchester United get a reliable goal scorer in their hands, because he will score for you. Like, he will score for you.
Well, that will definitely be a welcome sight. I think further motivation for him is taking that number 7 shirt. A shirt that has not really been properly filled since Cristiano Ronaldo's departure. So hopefully he will, you know, take that in stride as well. If he does play against PSG, do you think that he would score?
Well, the thing is, I don't know, because he hasn't played in a really long time. He didn't play the Champions League with us. He stopped being a player on July 31st, I think. July 31st. And he just is, I don't think he's as much in rhythm as many of the other players that are going to be in that game. But I do believe that I could be wrong. That was the same thing people said about the Champions League teams that didn't have rhythm going into the Champions League, and they ended up being the best performers. So that maybe him being able to take himself out of the equation of football for such a long time, and then being able to come back and, you know, play against his former team in his former stadium, I think it might be an occasion for him, right? Like, he's definitely going to do everything he can to score. Hopefully he won't. Hopefully we can come up with the 3 points, because I think that is really important for us in this Champions League to start with a win.
Yeah, especially with Manchester United play Istanbul, I believe, in their game actually we play RB Leipzig in our next Champions League game after. So a very rough start to this, paired with, you know, meetings with Arsenal and Chelsea in the Premier League as well. So a very tough time for Manchester United, in which they'll need their new signings to step up for sure.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. RB Leipzig are no joke. They are a fantastic team. And I think the only reason why we beat them so easily in the semifinals was because they had too much respect for PSG. They tried, you know, performing more of a conservative approach to their football. And I think that's just like something they weren't used to, and it didn't work out for them. Mm-hmm. But I think now that it's a, you know, it's a group stage match, I think they're going to play their actual dynamic attacking football. And I think they're going to be much, much dangerous than what people realize.
Yeah, and I know Timo Werner was not part of their Champions League campaign. He had left for Chelsea by that point. But people probably not realizing that he wasn't, I mean, as a forward, he was crucial for their success. But that team really runs through Sabitzer and Emil Forsberg in those two wide creative roles.
They're an incredible threat. And they can hit you through all forms and manners. They can, you know, hit you through the air, in transition, in speed. They have tools for everything. So I like our group. I like that we have a competitive top group, because honestly, I think there's no better preparation for the last stages of the Champions League than having a top group.
Yeah, and this is what the Champions League is all about. You know, if you're playing through a group where you know you're going to win everything, then why are you watching, or why are your fans even tuning in for the group stage? You know, the biggest names in the world, Manchester United versus Paris Saint-Germain. You know, that's what you watch the Champions League for.
Absolutely. I agree. And I think I'm really excited about this competition. I love the groups, you know, that they created. The groups are very level, fantastic, really, really good opportunities for many, many teams to pass their usual level of performance in the Champions League. And I think that COVID in many ways has acted as a leveler for many clubs in the world. So it's making less favored clubs start to be better than the people realize. So I like them. I think they're fantastic. And our group is definitely going to be incredibly interesting.
Yeah. Even Istanbul, Başakşehir, you know, they're not necessarily a very storied club, and they're definitely projected to finish fourth in this group. But playing on the road in Istanbul is never an easy thing.
Never an easy thing. And they have quality. That's the thing. See, that's the thing about this group. All of the teams have quality. Well, I mean, obviously in the Champions League, every team has quality. But in this group, especially, every team has quality. Even the fourth team is a team that, you know, of course, like you said, you still don't expect them to win the group, but they can be dangerous.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for joining me, Koze. Do you have any last predictions for this game? Or you want to give us a score prediction?
Okay. I think that PSG win it 1-0.
Okay.
That's what I think, yeah.
I'm going to be a bit less optimistic. I'm going to go PSG win 3-1.
All right.
I think maybe they go up and we grab an equalizer, but I don't see us having the defensive quality to see one out against, you know, two of maybe the top five attackers in the world right now. So
I think Ole's going to go with a back five.
He's done that a couple times, and I think it will depend on how Maguire, whether he's rested against Newcastle or whether he plays against Newcastle, and, you know, see what his form is like. But I could definitely see that happening. And a couple things we tried last season, especially when we played against Manchester City, which is a team that similarly likes to possess teams to death, you know, with all their creators in the middle of the park and in wide areas. We would put Luke Shaw in a back three with Maguire and Lindelof, and then play Brandon Williams in a wing-back role. And now that we have Alex Telles coming in from FC Porto, I think that could potentially be a really good spot for him to get forward and link up with our attackers.
Well, I am really excited about this game. I think it's going to be a fantastic match. And I also agree with you. I mean, I always tell people that Manchester City doesn't even have central defenders. They only play midfielders for defenders.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the whole take the ball, pass the ball, Guardiola mentality. It doesn't matter how good a defender you are if you can't pass the ball at all. So, yeah.
Right.
And of course, that's exposed other problems for them, but you know, they're still very good.
They just don't have any proper defending.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed this past half hour. I think it was fantastic.
Yeah, this is great. And hopefully we can do this again, either between the two matches or after the second one. And yeah, looking forward to it. Thank you, cousin.
Have a great time.